grapefruit-sized neutron bombs. Let me tell you a little bit about this story, and since Stephen brought it up. Sam Cohen, indeed the inventor of the neutron bomb, and he says that his biggest fear is the so-called mini-neutron bomb that he believes the United States is in imminent danger of a terrorist nuclear attack. He believes the Russians have sold this information. He goes on to say that a terrorist could easily hand-carry one of these mini-nukes in a suitcase or even a paper bag, according to him. He said it could be placed in a park across the street, for example, from the White House or any other strategic target and detonated by a timer or remote control. This type of neutron bomb would destroy every living thing for a radius of 500 yards. Yet physical objects and buildings would be undisturbed. Nuclear radiation will also be quickly rendered harmless. Because there is no mushroom cloud or even an explosion, Cohen claims testing of such weapons cannot be detected in other countries. So he says, in effect, we have legally denied ourselves the ability to develop and stockpile these weapons while giving an open hunting license to the rest of the world to acquire them if they so wish. Now that is scary. Back in a moment with your questions and Stephen Quayle on Coast to Coast AM. And looking at some of these past stories about Sam Cohen, Stephen, it looks like he did have a relationship with George W. Bush when Bush was the vice president under the Reagan administration. So who knows what happened then, huh?
Well, I guess the only thing I can say is he's one of the most delightful, most brilliant men I have ever talked to. Great sense of humor. But, George, when I talked to him and interviewed him years ago, the bottom line is there was such a concern. Let me share this with you. Red Mercury was denied by the puppets from Langley for so long that even when the inventor of the neutron bomb, a brilliant physicist, I mean, this guy is off the charts in wisdom, would go public immediately, in those days, they would make the statement, oh, those things don't exist. Let me tell you this, whether people want to accept it or not, due to the efforts of some incredibly brave men and women, actual fissionable devices have been disarmed in this country. For that, I'm furious at those liars in the world of denial that they won't give credit to where credit's due. And we have had some sophisticated devices. Not everything from the Cold War period, just, quote, suitcase nukes that Alexander Lebedev talked about before he was murdered, the governor of Siberia, Boris Yeltsin's former national security advisor. The point is that we have absolute, absolute indications. We have absolute marvelous testimonies, and the mainstream press, which is, in my opinion, let me be blunt, this is my opinion, only mine, no one get mad at George over this, but I call these guys vomit brokers, okay? And the reason I call them vomit brokers is because they regurgitate the stuff that they have massaged and have so stripped of any relevance that all you get is the continual, 31 flavors of vomit, and you never get the facts. That's why talk radio shows like yours and the people that are out there, people that no longer have a voice in mainstream press because they've been fired, censured, or whatever, are out there with incredible skills, talents, and abilities telling people what's going on. And I think that some event is going to be planned. May I read you a quick vision? I think is an incredible vision. It answers your question about what is going on. It's only sure. A paragraph. This was sent to me by one of the most amazing women I have ever met in my life, okay? And she had a vision about an eagle. And in the vision, there was an enormous American eagle that was suspended from the rafters in the beams of an old dusty auction house. The auctioneer was selling off the eagle to the highest bidder. The eagle's massive wingspan covered the distance of the entire house, and the wings were nailed to the beam that went across. It was posed symbolically like Jesus' crucifixion. The eagle was draped across his loins with a blood-stained American flag. It had been deeply wounded on its side, and blood poured out of the wound onto the flag. The boss, the lady, noticed in the vision that there was a rifle slung across the eagle's back, so it had no chance to even fire one shot. And the person that sent it to me says it doesn't take a lot of smarts to interpret that vision. What basically is happening is that the New World Order is selling off America, As you know, our industries have moved. The announcement last week that Dell's going to hire 15,000 people in India, that Walmart's going to hire 150,000 people in China. You know, that we've, and again, the situation with General Motors is beyond critical. If you look at their balance sheet, you see how many vehicles they are selling. The rate.
Well, they also claim they made a $2 billion accounting error, so they've got to restate their earnings.
Right, and that's a derivative manipulation of the numbers, and that's for a whole other show, the word derivative.
How do you make a $2 billion mistake, Stephen?
Yeah, but I mean, we've seen that in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, too.
And I maybe misbalanced my checkbook by a couple hundred dollars, but not that.
Well, and can I tell you something? We've become jaded that even that kind of number doesn't seem to have much effect anymore. Look, so $9 trillion means that every dollar that everyone makes in this country, excuse me, in a given year, I mean, that's the gross national product, you know? And the point is that given the fact that what do we make in this country anymore, what do we have that the world wants outside of our technology, and with the technological treason that's taken place, and everything that's been sold out to the highest bidders from our most amazing satellite technology, all you can't name a technology. I've had nuclear physicists that have absolutely credentials that would astonish people, and you know some of them that listen to this show. The bottom line is that these guys have wept talking about seeing the most top secret stuff we have and going to this country, China, Russia, whatever Russia in those days, for nuclear weapons verification and being shown their own blueprints that were supposedly top secret. How about this, George? Break-in after break-in after break-in at all of our top secret labs or nuclear weapons labs. How about the folly of all the computers disappearing? You would have to either think that this stuff, that we have some of the most amazingly stupid people, or that it's orchestrated just like you and I are talking tonight. And I think the vision of the eagle being sold to the highest bidder, I don't think most Americans understand who owns the United States of America, and they would be shocked to find out who owns the multinational corporations that lay claim to all of the assets.
Well, I agree with Cohen, and I think if there's going to be a severe problem in this country, it's going to be with a neutron bomb. I was always thinking of a conventional nuke, and that is not going to be the case. He said these things are so small, Stephen. You know how we've talked about suitcase nukes?
Yep.
He says a terrorist can carry one in a paper bag.
Oh, absolutely.
That's how little they are, the size of a grapefruit.
Right, and there was a wonderful book. I don't think it's available. You'll have to get it on Amazon. It's called Red Mercury. And the deal is Red Mercury is called, and it's not a secret because you got to have a reactor to produce this stuff,
yeah.
But it's mercury antimony oxide, okay? I once went on, I think a couple of years ago, you and I did the show together, and I think I went on just a standard Yahoo search, and there were close to 450-some thousand postings on red mercury, you know? And by the way, that isn't a car that's painted red. So the point is that given the explosive nature of that, and it's fascinating, isn't it, that you have the inventor of it, but you have continual denials. Let me just make this statement.
We'll take calls. Go ahead.
In 1999, Iran detonated a nuclear weapon. That was without question. It happened. The Associated Press carried the story for 1 hour. I read it on your show one time. The point is that this is all doublespeak. Oh, we're worried about them acquiring this. It was North Korea that this said, last week, middle of the week, that they can launch a preemptive strike. People say, well, is that just hyperbole? Is that just an endless threat because they always make endless threats? Or do they really have the technology given to them by the same people now that are standing with Iran? I got to tell you something. The Russians and the Chinese have a joint mutual defense treaty, independent and together, with Iran. And that's what I absolutely challenge the press, the mainstream press, to get real and become real reporters once again, because you're losing your audiences, and the reason you're losing your audiences is people don't give a darn about celebrity weddings when their very livelihoods are going to be forever changed, and they will end up on a food line someplace.
Let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up by going to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Hi, I have a relevant point, or I just want to make one point about God, and I think it's relevant to this topic. I want to make it real quick. As far as God, I don't believe in God in the near term. I believe in God in the far term, and that what I want to elaborate on is real quick is that in the near term, I think that Christianity has been perverted. by the modern church. I mean, as far as the far term, I believe in God, as far as prior to the Bible being made and what have you, civilization, you know, why are we all here? You look at the universe. But that being said, I think that the Bush administration or the Illuminati or the Bilderbergers, whoever the powers that be, I think are trying to artificially bring about end times.
Oh, absolutely.
As opposed to them naturally taking place.
Well, forgive me, but, the deal is that he who writes the end of the book at the beginning and can tell you how it ends, you know, God has already taken into consideration. Let me share something. The caller makes a good point. I believe that the modern expression of Christianity as expressed through statements that once came from the administration and the entire, if you will, neocon position is absolutely divorced from reality. We are absolutely, I believe, being in the mode where we're going to be not only brainwashed and I say channeled, directed into accepting the next war, World War III, that the Bible teaches that will be a false Armageddon, that the Antichrist will come on declaring himself to be Jesus. Jesus said, look, I came, you receive me not. Another will come claiming to be me, Jesus Christ, and him you're going to accept. So the point is that in the near term, there is the greatest apostasy. The Apostle Paul talked about the great falling away, and you can see it, you know. People want to be entertained. They don't want to take responsibility for changing, getting involved in the homeless lives, getting involved in the widows. And by the way, you know, we used to set the standard for the world in our compassion, in our giving, in our generosity, in fighting the good fight, in standing up for what's right. And basically right now, to the rest of the world, I want you to know, to the rest of the world, we have become almost whores, whores, selling everything and everyone. And that's exactly what the Bible says, that people will traffic in men's souls in the end time. And George, it's my contention that you can't get any more ender timer than we're at right now.
Well, but what's unfortunate about that, Stephen, and that statement you just made is people don't understand that there are heartwarming, dedicated Americans who truly do care about other people. And, you know, I keep playing my old Byron McGregor, Gordon Sinclair tape, that Canadian tape about Americans. And I still think it's apropos today. I still think it means a lot today.
To the people of America, I agree with you. Listen, I love my country. I'm not a bash America guy. But what I'm telling you is this, is that when you've got instance after instance of people selling out private interests, vested interests, when you've got truth never being approached, and this is by...
Well, that's a different thing, though.
Yeah,
that's
what I want to make
thing.
It clear, George. That's what I'm talking about, not the American people.
When you have these people who run Enron, and you have these kinds of lunatics doing what they're doing for their own self-gain, those are the people that are giving the United States a bad eye. Those are the people that are giving us... You know, I talk to people who will travel to London or France and stuff like that. And they get along with these people. They all love each other. But as soon as we talk, they all start talking about governments and theirs too. Then they realize that there's something wrong with this planet and that this group, and let's call them the Illuminati as opposed to anything else right now, that they are the ones that are screwing it up for all of us.
Absolutely, but it's by design because that is their prime directive. They must screw it up so that people get so fed up with the screwed-up nature of the world that they call for someone that will give them peace. They call for someone that will restore order. See, it's a Hegelian dialectic, okay? You create the problem, you provide the solution, and by providing the solution to the problem you created, you bring about the desired change. You know, whether you like Hegel or not, it's exactly the way they work. And if you see terrorism, and look, I resent being considered a terrorist if I say I don't like the policy of a surveillance society. When people say to me, well, if you don't have anything to be afraid of, that shouldn't bother you, I say, no, it's the guys doing the surveilling that bothers me, not to mention that I don't believe in the surveillance society. This country was great when we didn't have it. So what is the underlying catalyst? What's the driving
force?
Look,
if law enforcement was allowed to do what they did prior to 9/11, they would have stymied that case. They would have been able to stop it. It wouldn't have occurred, and that would have been on conventional law enforcement means. We wouldn't have had the Patriot Act. We wouldn't have had any of these controls in place, and we would have stopped 9/11 had we just listened to the law enforcement people who were doing their job.
But they were told to stand down, too, and they were intentionally faulted. They were intentionally, listen, I've talked to over 200 probably law enforcement individuals from different parts, you know, of the country, of the world, et cetera. And they all said the same thing. Whenever they would get to the meat of the matter, somebody or someone would intentionally foul up their investigation, threaten them. Some of these guys were threatened with murder. So who threatens who with murder for telling the truth? Just like the scientist issue, you know? The bottom line is, and we got to deal with the bird flu. You and I talked about, and again, this is critical and germane, we talked about the fact that it is in the Illuminous manuscripts that they are going to generate a super plague. And that super plague isn't, by the way, the bird flu. It is the transgenic version of the bird flu is a cover, okay? Let me make this clear. The bird flu is a cover. It's what's underneath it. And this is, listen, this is just basic defectors from the Soviet Union. They're getting it clean with the country, saying this is how we were going to do it. So when you hear of this disease or that disease breaking out, the whole thing, Dr. Patricia Doyle, God bless her, she's done a fabulous job. But it seems like people just want to believe that, you know, somehow this bird flu is going to, you know, take over in 3 weeks. You remember that story about 10 days ago?
Yeah.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, how did it go?
Well, as you know, I've been saying on this program for the last year that there isn't going to be a pandemic. I've stuck my neck out saying that there is not going to be a human pandemic with this situation, like there was not a SARS problem and everything else. And it's all hype, and it's all scaring people, and it's a bunch of bull.
And the reason, listen, somebody once said this, is that isn't it interesting that the government that used to say you need to prepare for 3 days is now saying you may need to be quarantined? And about the same time that the monthly self-imposed quarantine could be up to 3 months, you know? I mean, you can go on government websites now that they're talking about things that you and I have spoken about over the years, about preparing for an extended period of time. But what I think, and this is something that people have got to understand, it is my contention and others very wise that all of the scientists were killed because at some point in their lives, they worked on a compartmentalized program that is ultra, ultra secret. And there is, George, a desire and a declared intention to wipe out 5.5 billion people. You
can't. Well, and let me tell you though, Stephen, we are so busy as a nation concerned about all this stuff, you know, the avian flu, the terrorism, wars, that we have completely forgotten what it's like to run a country and take care of people. We have forgotten about education. We've forgotten about amending the Internal Revenue Tax Code and making it workable for Americans. Nobody's talking about Social Security anymore and what they're going to do about that. Instead, all we're talking about is whittling away our rights and destroying the planet. And I'm telling you, there's something wrong. And I predict that the pressure cooker is about ready to explode because you cannot keep people simmering this way.
Absolutely.
They're going to blow up.
And it's my contention, George, that all the misstories, misstatements, and bald-faced lies are designed to cause a pressure cooker to blow up. Because then Dracon and the boys, you know, it's almost like a cheap comic strip or maybe even a good comic strip. Then the draconian law boys come in and they kill with impunity. I'm sorry, but I see a very, very sinister, and I don't mean just earthly plan in this, you know?
All right, Stephen, stay with us. You know what that music's like. That means it's time to move on. We'll be back. We'll take final phone calls. I know we didn't get to a lot this half hour. We'll get as many as we can when we come back with Stephen Quayle. Well, next hour, we're going live to the United Kingdom as we chat with David Icke. But when we come back, let's finish up with the rest of your phone calls and our special guest, Stephen Quayle, on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Stephen Quayle. Stephen's website, stevequayle.com, and your phone calls. Ready for some more calls, Stephen?
Sure, and George, my name, so many people send me emails and get it wrong. It's Quayle.com.
Exactly. Just like the old vice president, isn't it?
Yep, except I can spell.
No relation, I guess, huh?
Oh, brother, I could tell you a funny story. That's for another show.
You got it. Why? How's your daughter doing? Well, that's another show, too. She's still got her singing career. She's still doing well?
Oh, she's doing well, and she's got some great new material she's working on. And, you know, she's parted company with her previous producer, and I think that every artist, you know, when they're out there, they want to do what they want to do. And now she's in a position where she can do what she wants to do and is more free to pursue her kind of music than what she was told should be her kind of music. But I'm really proud of her. She's a great daughter.
Well, to those who do not know, Stephen has a lovely daughter by the name of Stephanie, and she is a she's an artist, a recording artist, and we played a couple of her clips. What's them in, what, about a year and a half ago, Steve?
Yep, and you know, she's just really doing well. And like I say, George, I think you guys had dinner or something, didn't you?
Yes, along with her record producer, Steve.
Right.
Didn't go to dinner with her by...
You know, oh, no. Please, that's not what I'm inferring.
I know that. I'm pulling your leg.
Yeah, I mean, I got news for you. The only thing that is interesting to me is, you know, the fact that so many things are changing, especially in the broadcast world, as you know, and, you know, things artists are taking now their music direct to the net or direct to download, and you know, the big record companies are going through a major transition. And now the artists are freer to do what they used to be able to do without so many financial constraints. So I'm really happy for her.
Good. Well, let us know what happens. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on with Steve Quayle. Hi there.
You talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
Okay. Steve, I listened to your show tonight out of the archives. It wasn't while you were broadcasting it. And I started at the end of the last 5 to 10 minutes, you read bits of an email that upset me. And I called my friend to ask her, because she always listens to Coast to Coast every night, if you had said anything further regarding that email. While I was talking to her, she was watching Fox News, and she said, well, that was weird. And all of a sudden, there was a big stop sign that said, stop 9/11. And then it disappeared, and then they broke to commercials. Because of that, and what you said read on your show tonight, I called to ask you if you could say, is something going on?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, here's the deal. And I don't mean to be cryptic or unduly alarm people, but, you know, there are absolute actions that take place. What I was trying to share with my listeners tonight, George, because, I'm sure you didn't hear it, was just that when we get something we're on listening to shortwave radios or military channels that aren't encrypted and stuff, I was basically telling people that when they hear situations like specific sites, S-I-T-E, I don't mean internet sites, but specific military places being hit, and when the military says they're going to a weapons-free type category, that's, you know, from the military, that means that stuff is happening. So what I was trying to get everyone to understand is that this is not melodramatic, it's not an undue alarm, but there are really events taking place. And there really are people concerned, and I'm talking the highest levels of the military, for the next 16 days. And obviously, we're dealing with a time period now where there are so many indications coming out that something's afoot. And this, you know, the dreams and visions, I've never seen a time, George, where people are having so many dreams. And by the way, Carol, thank you for sharing that about Fox News. She sent me the email that she's talking about to you now and basically saying she doesn't think she'll sleep tonight, you know, because there are events that are taking place right now. And again, unfortunately, the globalists want, and I want to make this clear, so all of you listening to me in the military, understand that the global gulag boys, the global puppet masters, are going to do their best to make war on our troops, George, and that makes me nuts, okay? We've got some of the finest men and women who have laid down their lives, are ready to pay the price, and there are entities, and I'm talking both supernatural and natural, that are doing their best to destroy this. You know, it's interesting because you've been talking a lot about different individuals that you've interviewed. There's basically two kinds of guys I see out there. I'm talking the good and evil. The good guys are the gatekeepers trying to keep everything that wants to come through to destroy humanity kept in that realm. And then there's the seal breakers who are basically doing everything they can to try and achieve a supernatural power base. And when you talk about movies like Universal Soldier and you talk about The Island of Dr. Moreau, and you and I have, you know, done that extensively, I mean, when you understand that those are real programs, you can see an amazing contempt for mankind. I believe it's satanic, it's Luciferian, and I believe that there will be such an obvious point coming where you'll know that people who have only seen the shadows or dealt with the shadows, and I know you've been dealing with that, will now start to see the unseen. And when the unseen becomes visible, that's when the angels of heaven, the book of Revelation, cry out, whoa, whoa, whoa. And when you hear an angel saying, whoa, I got news for you. That's time to sit up and take notice.
Maybe they'll come down and save us, Steve.
Well, obviously, you know, the Bible says the angel of the Lord encamps around those who love and fear God. And there are good angels and there are fallen angels. And unfortunately, you know, Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail. You know, no one ever gets beat up with a gate, but a gate is either designed to keep something out or something in. And so, you know, that's kind of a fascinating scripture that really most people, I've never heard anybody exegete it. And Tom Horn, the author of The Ahriman Gate, when he brought that up on an interview I did with him, it absolutely blew my mind. The listeners who, you know, listen to that show, I mean, it's something that, you know, when a switch goes on, you get it, and I got it.
Hey, aren't you glad Doug Hagman's feeling better, by the way?
Yes, I am. And, you know, he's just been really fighting the issues with his health. And, you know, God bless him and you know, may be restored to total health.
Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi, yeah. George. Hi, Steve. This is Patrick calling from Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, Patrick.
Hi, how you doing? I was listening to you earlier, and I heard you make mention of the phrase, order out of chaos. And I know that that's a Masonic phrase. It's around the cover of their Morals and Dogma text.
Absolutely.
I was wondering, you know, we've been talking about this New World Order in a political context, and, you know, I've been deeply disturbed by something, and I wanted to throw it out there and get your input on it, concerning a religious, a global religion. I'm noticing that there is an upsurge in interest in Gnosticism, which is, you know, what essentially the Freemasons are, is the underground Gnostic Church. And I was wondering if you had any concerns about the sudden interest in the Church of Mary Magdalene, in, you know, the Da Vinci Code movie that's coming out, and the possibility of a world church that would institute as a sacrament the type of quote-unquote marriage that was going on in the times of Noah, thereby resulting in the demonic possession of mankind. And I was wondering if this possibly, you know, seeds were being sown to get people, you know, to come more towards the Gnostic Church and thus the world church that the Gnostics are trying to institute.
Well, and let me define Gnosticism for people that may not be familiar. It's from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge. And the point is that the secret societies you know, the Masons are just one. All of the secret societies believe that the arcane and secret knowledge, whether it's the different Solomaic dealings with the devil, you know, the bottom line is what I'm seeing, Patrick, is a very thing that, quite candidly, I can't say it any clearer than you. I believe the Da Vinci Code is absolutely an aberration in history. There are people that accept the premise Jesus of Nazareth did not go to India and he did not have sex with Mary Magdalene and produce offspring. There were many Jesuses, such as Apollonius of Tyana, and Jesus himself said, many are going to come in my name and deceive many. So the point is that the deception is so great, and I got to share something with you. It's amazing, isn't it? We're supposed to be such an open-minded society, but when it comes to talking about Jesus of Nazareth, the full court press is on to destroy him, and he's the one that the book of Revelation is written about, the book of Daniel is written about. So it's fascinating. Well, the people that want to use that want to deny, you know, they'll accept that in one breath and deny him in the next. And I got to tell you, I mean, we know this is absolutely, in my opinion, such an obvious fulfillment of prophecy that the denial and denigration of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you can believe in anything you want. You can do anything, do whatever, to whomsoever, whensoever, which is totally contrary to the basis of the New Testament. The New Testament is basically deny yourself, help others, love your neighbor as yourself. And the word love, good night, it has such a distorted meaning compared to what it does. George, you were talking earlier about, you know, there are fabulous people in this country. You know, I've started a thing, and I just want to share this with you because it'll show you how wonderful people are. I said, I'm tired of widows and single moms suffering under financial burdens. I mean, some of them get so little money from Social Security, or there's just no one for them. I had one lady write me a letter, and I wept through the letter. telling me that she's lived on peanut butter and crackers for the last year. And by the way,
oh my God.
And by the way, the paper she sent had tear stains on it. I mean, you could see where the ink had run. So what I did is I just said, look, I got to tell you something. I'm through with organized religion, lock, stock, and barrel. They want to build their temples. They want to build their edifices. They want to build their egos. They want to do all this stuff. But I said, I'm going to the people that need help. And by the grace of God, so many people, George, wrote me and called me and sent me emails saying, we want to help the widow. See, that's what this country's all about. Not pulling apart, but pulling together. And for the record, I got to tell you something. That's the thing that offsets all of the evil that you and I are confronted with in talk radio and all the bizarreness is when people really start to care. That's what this nation was like. And the very preparation mode is a frontier spirit. And in those days, people helped each other. You know that?
That's what it's all about. And if we lose sight of that, then we collapse. But I don't think we will as a nation because we have a lot of tremendous people here. I just hope that our leaders will begin to understand what their mission is and why they were elected before it's too late. I just have a feeling, Stephen, they are prepared to hand over this tremendous asset we call the United States into this one world government, and that's what they're going to try to push us into. We may unfortunately be stuck accepting that, and if we do, we're going to have to change our own approach a little bit in terms of people, but, you know, we're going to have to cross that bridge when we get to it.
Well, I think we're at the bridge, George, because, you know, the New World Order has a way of identifying, vilifying, nullifying, and destroying, okay? And what you're seeing now is you're seeing that in motion on a worldwide scale, and I want to share this with you. You and I have talked about climate change. We've talked about the upheavals, underwater volcanoes. By the way, Stan Deo was given a very important Encoda map. He showed the situation that took place in Sumatra in 2004 on December 24th, and now the signature of what's taking place there. The Encoda is the sea surface temperature maps that Stan has been spending a decade on, and I would encourage people to go to my website because something big is brewing, and it's my contention, George, that a global series of earthquakes in the 8 to 9 realm could probably be one way that this Iranian war and the whole war in the Middle East could be prolonged. It can't be put off. It will not be stopped. But we know this. We know that, in my opinion, we have seen incredible mercy, and I believe that people are going to not just hear about people being fired, but when people start caring, and I'm talking about actively becoming involved in other people's lives, not for their benefit, but for the recipient's benefit, that's when the country changes. We change from selfishness to selflessness, and that, in my opinion, is what the gospel is all about. People should be, taking a look at the attitudes of, quote, the powers that be and recognizing those boys are all on their own gravy train. And the point is in that, with minor exceptions, it doesn't matter what side of the coin, it's still a rotten coin, in my opinion. There are good men and good women in Congress and the Senate, but they usually get eclipsed by the people that have the power of the checkbook.
West of the Rockies, your turn. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yeah.
How you doing today?
Good, thank you.
That's good. And Steve, how you doing?
Good.
That's good. I want to tell you, I really appreciate all the work you do. I have the greatest respect for you as well as you, George. You guys got a lot of guts, I'll tell you. You really do. The reason I was calling is that I get this catalog that gives you a lot of inside information. It's all over the place. It's from medical to political, you name it. And basically, you can buy information that they'll give you, from $4 up. It kind of gives you the insight, like how to cure different illnesses and so forth. But it also hits the political arena. And in between that, they have different things, write-ups of information and about different subjects. And in this one, it was called 911 Curio. And in this, it talks about some very interesting stuff, though I can't claim of authenticity. I can only tell you what was in this article. It also had it talked about Chief Attorney David Schiffer, who had talked on Alex Jones' radio show in regards to the Justice Department having prior information about the 911. But what I wanted to get to was, I don't know if you're familiar with this lawsuit that was a class action lawsuit brought up by Attorney Stanley Hilton. He served under with for Dole, Senator Dole.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that case?
Yes.
Okay. And according to this, he says that he claims he has evidence, including documents and sworn witness statements from top military officials, FBI agents, and Pentagon officials. He further claims to be in possession of incriminating documents proving that the president personally signed the orders for 911. What's your take on that? Is it baloney or what?
Well, first of all, I don't know if it's baloney
until we see it. And so far, Hilton has not given us those documents.
I think one of the tragedies of the Internet, one of its weaknesses could turn to be its strength, is that when anybody can make any statements on the Internet, and, you know, the reason that that Coast to Coast spends the amount of time, effort, money to do the Internet, I do my Internet site, stevequayle.com, the people that are out there in the alternative, I mean, we try and link to, you know, major news stories from around the world. And, George, as you know, the rest of the world has a different take on a lot of things. You've got the former head of German intelligence dealing with the whole 9/11 situation. But again, 9/11, and for the caller's sake, all you've got to find out is who the guy is that gave the order to stand down for NORAD to stand down. And, you know, you can understand. And again, you don't even have to, and please, again, there are people who have done fabulous amounts of effort. I'm not denigrating or belittling their effort, but I'm just trying to tell you, when you have something that's so obvious, you know, it's Occam's razor, you know, it's keep it simple, and the bottom line is it's in plain sight. And again, you're talking about eyewitnesses. It was like Flight TWA-800 when hundreds of witnesses saw a missile take that thing down, and the FBI basically said, no, you didn't. And the cover-up on that is equal or even as deep in the ramifications as the cover-up on 9/11.
Well, it seems to me, though, Stephen, the biggest effort we have right now as a nation is at least to find out what's going to happen in the not-too-distant future with the possibility of nukes, whether they be neutron or conventional nukes, because I think that is our biggest concern and our biggest fear. It boggles my mind that we would sell the rights to test for these radiologicals with a Chinese firm. To me, there's something else bigger here. It's almost as if either we're being blackmailed or duped, or we're all part of this stupid thing that's going on, but I just don't understand it yet, and I'm going to keep badgering away at it until I do. And I really, other than Lou Dobbs and on CNN, there has not been one major mainstream media person doing a thorough job on this story on Hutchison Whampoa. Nobody's
Absolutely.
Touched it.
And Lou needs to hear emails, and people need to send him letters saying, thank you, keep up the job. He is one guy, George, that I really respect and admire because, you know, it's really tough when everyone wants to make sure you go downstream fast, and he's swimming against the stream. But
he is our voice in television. He's the only one out there. Stephen, we're out of time. I want to thank you for being on the show. Stephen Quayle. Next up, we're going live to the United Kingdom. David Icke, 2 hours on Coast to Coast AM.